you, Trustee Danko, and I'm impressed that was going to be the start of my answer. So that it, there are guiding principles that are associated with the work, and certainly being in poor condition is one of those things that will help prioritize projects. And there are, again, as Senior Manager Anderson noted, usually we do the work obviously on an annual basis, and then our information is entered and it is updated, and so we get an updated FCI, which allows us to move different schools within that document. The numbers that you're looking at are the numbers from last year, because we have not yet received from the ministry our updated FCI. So even though a lot of work has happened in some of these schools, the numbers haven't been updated. So rather than us making a guess as to what they're going to be, we're waiting to get that information from the ministry with a note that work has been done and we expect them to move. So our strategic directions did indicate that we wanted to move 25% by 2020 out of poor condition, which would have been moving from 21 schools to 15. So we will talk about that in the next report, and it is a good news story. We recognize that some things are out of our control, some things that, as Dave says, everything can be done. It's just time and money. And so both those things we can't necessarily control. So with the time and money that we have used our guiding principles, which do include schools in poor condition, to be able to assign the work through the capital plan, and are really happy with the results that we will be reporting on later on.
Thank you. Trustee Miller.
Thank you so much for that. I know I see one of the schools in my ward on the poor list that did actually just finish completion for an elevator. So I know looking at that list, I'm sure that work hasn't been taken into the account into this list. So thank you for the clarity on some of, I guess, the missing information there. My only other question is just the point about the 20 schools that are going to be assessed over this spring, summer. Is that happening? Do we have a list of which schools? Just given the close, all the closures.
So through the chair, the assessments were done and we're awaiting the reports. We do schedule usually 20 to 25 schools. They're not always done over the summer. They're done through the school year as well. So given that the reports that we were expecting in February are delayed, I'm not sure what the schedule is for future assessments. But I can share that list once we do populate it.
Thank you. Trustee Miller.
That's great. Thank you so much. I'm all good for questions. Thank you.
Great. And the only other question that I had was related to the Facility Condition Index. And I believe I've asked this before, but I've forgotten the answer. Do we have any control over which 20 schools are assessed? So are we able to identify schools that have had work done so that we would expect the number to shift as part of the assessment, or is it random?
So through the chair, we do have some input on the list. Typically, they will send us their proposed list, and then we'll look at it and say, you know, three of those schools are closing, so there's no point in investing any energy there. We just completed some work at this school, so let's add that one to the list. Or for mid-project, let's postpone it a year. So, yeah, there is some back and forth. We do have some say.
Great. Thank you. And thanks again for all of the work put into this today. So with that, we will move along to item number 6, the school renewal report, and that is one of our strategic directions reports. I believe there is a PowerPoint deck to go along with that if trustees can turn to that presentation. So I believe this is Associate Director Zucker.
Yes, thank you, Trustee Danko. And yes, there is a PowerPoint presentation. It is the school renewal, this is SD strategic direction slide. So if trustees can open that, And I'll just start with the second slide, and I can read it out to you while you're opening. But it has our goal, which is to improve the condition of our schools, the target that at least 25% fewer schools will be identified as being in poor condition by 2020. So this has been our target for the last 4 years. And it was important to us that the target be a longer-term target because, again, there are certain things that we didn't have control over or that work that was being done in 1 year, we may not see the impact until the next year. So we wanted to give ourselves the time to make sure that we weren't just pushing things forward as quickly as possible, that we were taking the time to make sure that we had an appropriate plan in place that would best suit the needs of the board. So the strategies are to implement the annual capital plan, and then the first year, one of the strategies was to create it. So as Trustee Danko indicated, we didn't have all of these. We had some of the planning done, but not all of the plans related to the overall capital plan 4 years ago. So there a lot of work went into creating these plans, and now we're in the process of implementing them. We do work with our municipal partners, and we added this year the ministry because in the past, some of the delays in construction projects happening had to do with receiving site plan approval from the city. We worked extremely hard with the city, and the city worked with us very hard as well to increase those timelines. But we found that within the last year, especially that a lot of the delays, if a construction project was delayed as a result of approvals, in these cases, it was mostly related to receiving approval to proceed from the ministry. So we did add that as a strategy. And then the third one, to maximize our funding received through the Ministry of Education through the capital funding opportunities. So the plan for this presentation, and which is outlined in the report that you received, and this is just going to be the high-level presentation of that report, is to look at the target, look at 2018-19. I'll go through 18-19 fairly quickly because the target is the same, so it's just a recap of what we did last year. Then we can look at what we've done this year, and the exciting news is that we are in 2020 now, so we can actually look and see. We've always been saying that we're on track to meet our target. Now we can actually say if we will be meeting it or not. So, and by the way, I wouldn't be saying that it was exciting if we didn't meet it, so that's just a little preview. Again, 2018 with the strategy to implement the annual capital plan. Slide six does show that the annual capital plan, the components of it. So in total, you see the $11 million for secondary facility benchmarks, and these are on an annual basis, $2 million for the program strategy, $10 million for elementary benchmarks, $1 million for the elementary program strategy, $8 million, which we receive on an annual basis from the ministry for school renewal, and then $3.5 million of our operating budget for the repairs and maintenance. So those are all the components of the capital plan, and each of those components has their own plan associated with them and timelines associated with those plans. And every year, the plan is tightened up for each year so that we know exactly which projects are going to be ongoing. And for the two larger ones, the secondary facility benchmarks and the elementary facility benchmarks, as trustees know, trustees decided those benchmarks 4 years ago. We're in year four of implementing the plan, and those are the projects that we update trustees on a regular basis. So again, 2018-19, we were in year three. Each year we identified the projects, the components of those plans, and then the projects are planned, designed, and approvals are requested if required. And so those projects have been in progress, and then we provide quarterly updates to trustees to monitor them. So what I will say here, and I can repeat it a little bit in the second one, but gymnasium expansions were a big component of the elementary benchmark strategy. So as we have delays in getting approvals, and then as we did not get approval for them and have to now work with what are the next steps, obviously, this delays the implementation of the elementary facility benchmark strategies. So I would say we're on track for all of the other strategies and we continue to follow our plan, but we are delayed in being able to do those elementary gymnasium expansions for the elementary benchmark work because of the denial of the use of our proceeds of disposition. So the strategy number two last year was to work with our municipal partners. We had been working regularly with city staff. We've been meeting with them regularly, but what we added last year was actually allowing, one, the board to identify the projects that were priorities, and then the city was also identifying things to us which we could improve the speed at which they were approved, so making sure that we filled everything out correctly to the exact way that they like to see it, and making sure that they had all the information necessary right up front in order for them to be able to move it through the process as quickly as possible. So that was really helpful on both ends. City staff knew where to spend where to prioritize their time, which projects, and the board knew how to complete them as effectively as possible in order to make sure that they moved through that process. And then we did use the city board liaison committee to help to keep the city up to date with not only the projects that we had ongoing, but the ones that were coming up for future, so that they were aware and staff could take those away and make sure that they were prepared. And then the third strategy was to maximize funding opportunities. And again, we did not have any opportunities in 2018-19. In fairness, they did release the memo in 18-19, but the business cases weren't due until 19-20. And we just, through that time, Dave and his staff we've been identifying the business cases where we knew we needed to apply for funding for new construction, and we were able to make those business cases as strong as possible so that they were ready to submit. So then I moved to 1920, again, the same strategy. So this time I'm on slide 14 now, we're in year four of the annual capital plan. This year we didn't identify any new projects for benchmark work. One, it gave us time to catch up with all of the other work. We didn't have the approvals to proceed for the gymnasium expansion. There has been a pause in accommodation reviews, and that's delaying some of the work in the schools that haven't been to the reviews yet. And the good news is that for secondary, we have completed all of the allocation of funds for everybody but Sherwood. And Sherwood, as part of their business case, the $9 million that was assigned for benchmark for Sherwood was used in the capital submission in order to strengthen our business case and tell the ministry that the board was willing to use $9 million of its own funds to be able to build a new school on that site. So all of the other components of the capital project plan are in process and continue to be updated. And then the quarterly updates are, again, provided to provide trustees information to monitor the progress. So the second strategy is to work with our municipal partners and the Ministry of Education. Again, those regular meetings are happening with the city staff, and we've had continued success in receiving site plan approval for the projects that we really need them for in a timely manner. We continue to work with the ministry staff, and trustees continue to work with politicians to ensure that the approvals to proceed continue to move forward. Although there certainly was a significant delay in receiving them, we have received most of the ones that we have in, and it is as a result of really staff and trustees pushing them forward and continuing to follow up, because I have heard from other colleagues that they haven't received their approvals as of yet. And then the third strategy is to maximize the capital funding from the ministry. Again, we haven't done any pupil accommodation reviews because of the moratorium that's been placed by the ministry. So there weren't a huge number of capital priorities that were submitted in September, but we did submit ones that we've been unsuccessful for in the past, including the downtown Hobham, Sir John McDonald site, Russo in Ancaster, and Sherwood, the rebuild using some of our renewal money, and then asking for money from the province to rebuild the school on that property. We also looked ahead to properties which we may not have necessarily owned, but we knew that there would be an accommodation need, and in particular, Binbrook, where we know that we've already had to have a temporary strategy to accommodate students that should be attending Belmore. So we know that there's a need there. Unfortunately, we don't own the property yet, but we wanted to make the ministry aware that we do have that need and hope that they would be able to fund it as soon as possible, as soon as we're able to move forward with the construction. So with all of that being said, again, our target was to decrease by 25% the number of schools in poor condition. At the beginning of the strategic directions, there were 21 schools identified in poor condition. So a decrease of 25 would be a decrease of 5, or there would be 16 conditions in, or schools in poor condition. Currently, in the information that Dave just presented, with regards to the long-term facilities master plan, there are 16 schools there. So even if nothing changed, we would have met the target. There are two schools that are on there that will close in June. In addition, again, the ministry hasn't updated the FCI, so we think there are 5 more schools on that list that we expect the FCI to decrease to move them out of the poor condition. And again, once new schools are constructed, there's at least one more school that is in poor condition right now that will close once all of the construction is complete. And that's approved construction. That's not construction which we have requested, say, like Russo, where we haven't received it yet. So the slide is kind and it says that we're on track. But if you do the quick math, there's 16 right now. 2 are going to close. There's 5 more that will come off, and then at least one more that will new construction will close. So we're looking at less than 10. So we've actually decreased the number of schools in poor condition by over 50%. And again, that is a huge accomplishment of everybody at the table right now, because it's not just the people that are doing the actual physical work. It's the decisions that are made by the board. It's the strength of the business cases that we're submitting. It's those connections that people are making and the cases that we're putting forward for new construction in Hamilton. And, again, sometimes they're hard decisions through the accommodation reviews, but we can really see the results of those reviews. And then it's the trustees' foresight to say, we need a plan, and this is how we're going to monitor it. And then to actually come up with the plan, to implement the plan, and to stay on track and keep monitoring it by staff, it's really great. So the target, when we set it out, we didn't think that it was an easy target to meet. And so to exceed it and to get down below 50%, again, just a huge accomplishment, and really thank you to everybody, both staff and trustees that are sitting around the table. Thank you.
Thank you for that presentation, and I'll echo your thanks to staff for the hard work. It sometimes feels like we aren't doing much of anything when we are monitoring a plan that's in place, but I remember when we started doing this and we set these targets and initiated these plans, and it's so nice to see the fruits of the labor of all of the staff, trustees, everyone who's been involved. So really appreciate that. I'll turn to trustees for questions, starting with Trustee Johnstone.
Thanks. I'm just going to echo that for someone in their third term, this report is amazing. I have been able to witness the changes over the years, and it's incredible considering. I remember looking at reports a decade ago where it felt like every one of our schools were in terrible conditions. So thank you so much, Stacey, and to your entire team for all the work here.
Thank you. Trustee Tutt, do you have any questions?
Hi, no questions. Just want to thank staff and echo some of the sentiment about from Chair Johnstone again about the good work the staff is doing, given the trips that that they've been given. So thank you.
Thank you. We've got some cheers in the background. The excitement is evident. I'll turn to Trustee Buck. Any questions or comments?
I do have a question on page 6-2-2, third paragraph. It says that the board had submitted its capital funding request by September 30th, 2019, which was the deadline, and we've not yet heard back to about the results of these requests. We're at the end of this school year, essentially. So what does this mean? Do we resubmit the same request for the next deadline? I'm assuming it's the end of September as well. Or do we kind of, is staff planning on adding to this list to kind of drive home to the ministry that there is a lot of work to be done?
Thank you. A great question, and I'll turn to Associate Director Zucker.
Thank you, and through the chair. So it doesn't usually take this long to get the results back of our submissions, and we had heard before everything, before COVID-19 and the school closures, that we would hear by the end of March, and so we are hopeful that we will be in a position where we'll be able to know and communicate soon what the results were. The ministry has not yet announced, so it's not an annual funding request. It's on an as-provided basis, so the ministry will release a memorandum saying now is the time to get your capital submissions in. We've only had one in the past 2 years, and that's the one that we're waiting for the results. So they will not make an announcement about a new program before they give us the results of our old program. So we will wait, see where we are and how successful we've been. And then through the next round, whenever that may be, we would bring obviously a report to the trustees to get their opinions, but it would usually be anything that we haven't been successful in plus any new projects that we will need funding for.
Thank you. Anything further, Trustee Buck?
No, that, as you were talking, Stacey, I recalled that we had been given this opportunity to submit capital projects. Could we just have a refresher about what was in that submission that we made?
Absolutely, and I'm going off the top of my head, so Dave, can you add or take away if I'm wrong? We did make a request for a new build on Russo, and that was part of the Ancaster accommodation review. We had requested it in the time before but hadn't received funding for it, so again, this was part of the submission. We requested an elementary school as part of the community hub on the Sir John A. McDonald site. And again, we had asked for that in the previous submission and had not been successful, so we resubmitted again. We asked for a new build of Sherwood on the Sherwood site, and that was as a result of just renewal needs being, it was more economical to build a new school than to do any of the upgrades. Plus, from a feasibility perspective, the timing hadn't worked. So we made that request. We assigned $9 million of our own money to that request. And I think this will be the third or fourth time that we've asked for this funding. So the third, we've been denied in the other times. We also made a request for a new build of a new elementary school in Binbrook related to growth. And there was one more growth school, and Dave, I can't recall if it was Stony Creek Mountain or Waterdown.
Yeah, it was the Nash site at Upper Stony Creek.
Right, and we own that property now, so that would be, again, related to growth. So those are the five projects that we submitted. We're allowed to submit up to 8 different projects. Again, we bring them forward to trustees, and allow them to make sure that they're comfortable with the ones that we've suggested and any changes that they would like. And through the next submission, again, we would do the same thing. And once we find out the results and if there are projects that we have been unsuccessful in and we've been unsuccessful for a number of tries, we will also bring an update and maybe look for direction from trustees on what our next step should be.
Thank you. Any further questions, Trustee Buck?
No more questions. I just a comment. I feel like Finbrook maybe could have been top of that list. I'm just kind of teasing. But, growth areas, it stands to reason that we need to be getting on top of those projects. So hopefully the ministry, once they are able to take a moment, can prioritize that for us. Anyway, thank you so much for that presentation. I have no more questions.
Thank you. Trustee Galindo, do you have any questions or comments?
Thank you, Trustee Danko. To the chair, not really questions, I think. I just want to echo a lot of the comments that were made by my colleagues. This report demonstrates how fortunate we are to have the staff that we do on our board working on this. I'm happy to see that we've come a long way in the last couple of years, in the last couple of terms and trustee years. I think we're heading in the right direction. I still share the same frustration that we're always playing catch up, right? That we're always a little behind, and we've done everything we can from our end. It's usually, delays that we're seeing from the ministry, and I recognize the challenges, that we face when working with the ministry for receiving approvals to proceed or approvals to use proceeds of disposition or even simply receiving funding for these projects and, the capital project applications or grant processes is an example of that, right? I'm very thankful for the work that staff have done, and I just want to make sure that they're recognized for those efforts. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Miller, do you have any comments or questions?
I do not. Thank you for the very thorough report. I'm a bit disappointed to hear that we're still waiting on the response from the ministry, but of course that's out of our hands. And I very much appreciate the detail that has gone into preparing those proposals. And I remember that was actually one of the first things that I think I saw Stacey report on as a trustee back in the fall. So it's a bit disheartening to know we don't have an answer yet, but hopefully as we look towards the new academic year, we can get some clarification on that. But thank you so much for that.
Thank you. So this was an update to trustees. There is no action item associated with it, so we will move along. And we will move to item number 3. Just wanted to confirm that Denise Dawson has been able to get on the line before I do that.
Hi, Dawn. I'm here.
Good. Okay, so we are going to take a step back and move to item number 3, the interim financial report as of April 30th, 2020. Over to you, Denise.
Through the chair, this is the monitoring report that we bring to you every year with with respect to our financial status as of April 30th. And so you can take a look at the written report and the numbers. Either one, it will tell you the same information. So if we take a look at our expenditures, we are projecting an $11.8 million, that our expenditures are projected to be $11.8 million below budget at this point in time. Just over $9 million of it is due to strike savings, and those strike savings need to be refunded to the ministry. So you will see with the revenue a corresponding reduction in revenue. In addition, we're projecting approximately $3 million in expenditure savings due to both the ministerial order and the job action throughout the year. These savings are in areas of professional development, supplies and textbooks, a little bit in energy, and in our benefits. Unfortunately, these savings have been offset by supply costs that are projected to be approximately $1.3 million over budget based on the expenditures year to date. So that would be expenditures primarily between September and March 31st. Again, when you take a look at the numbers, you see that revenue is projected to be $9.7 million less than the budget. As I mentioned before, revenue will be reduced by just over $9 million due to the strike savings that have to be refunded to the ministry. So those strike savings are the salaries and benefits that were not paid to our staff on the days that the strikes occurred. In addition, you'll see in the next report, our operating grants are up a little bit, about $350,000 due to March's projected enrollment increase. So you will see in the next report, we're projecting a little bit more in enrollment as of the end of March versus budget. We did have a projected miscellaneous revenue reduction, though, of $900,000, and that is due to the loss of community youth revenue and child care revenue as a result of the school closures due to the ministerial order. At this point, the contingency is still intact. So ultimately, when you take a look at the report, we're projecting a surplus of approximately $2.1 million. And again, it's a combination of savings from job actions throughout the year and the closure of schools in mid-March due to the ministerial order. So if you have any questions, I'd be pleased to answer at this point. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that update. So I'll again go through the roll call in a rotating order, starting this time with Trustee Tutt. Any questions or comments?
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Buck?
I had a question, and it has left my head. What was that? No, I guess no questions for me.
Thanks. Trustee Galindo?
No questions for me. Thank you for the report.
Trustee Johnstone?
No questions, thanks.
Thank you. I did have a vote. Sorry, Trustee Miller?
No questions. Thank you.
Thanks. I did have one question. So noting that we've recognized the changes in expenditures and revenue relating to the ministerial order, there's nothing mentioned about transportation. So is that currently that the budget has remained intact?
Through the chair, we're currently paying, since we're receiving the full grant from the ministry, our carriers are currently being paid.
Thank you. And so we would be looking to the ministry for any direction if there was to be a change, correct?
I believe so, yes.
Thanks. And a follow-up question, just in terms of our general process in terms of getting funding from the ministry. So because we had to refund money to the ministry when there was strike savings, likewise, if we had any staff that were not working full hours, the same procedure would apply, correct? So where, if we had staff that weren't working and not getting paid, then the ministry would not pay us the money for that particular staff, correct?
Through the chair, if you're referring to staff that have been, casual staff that have been laid off due to the COVID-19, we have not received any direction from the ministry as of yet whether they'll be requesting any refund of grants from us as a result of layoff of staff.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that. Okay, again, this is a monitoring item, so we do not have to vote on it. So we'll move along to item number 4. That is our enrollment summary as of March 31st, 2020. I believe that's you again, Denise.
Yes, that's me. Thank you. So you will see, again, this is a monitoring report. It is, at this point in time, we have our grants for student needs are about almost 98.5% of the board's funding. So it's important to see how our enrollment does versus our projections. We did report to the trustees in December on how we did with respect to October 31st enrollment
and we now have March 31st enrollment from the schools and things like that. So as you can see from the table, elementary enrollment is up slightly, just over 48 FTE. Again, very little movement in each grade. 12 in full-day kindergarten, grade 1 to 3, and 4 to 8 are up slightly as well. Secondary enrollment is up 83.25 FTE over the budget, in total about 132 FTE. Again, it is scattered across the system, so I have showed you in the detail. You can see all of the detail of October budget versus actual, March budget versus actual, and comparison from all the prior years on the movement in schools. One thing when you are looking at the elementary, you will see when you take a look at the detail, Eastdale opening, so there was no October enrollment, and there was 527 students as of March 2020, but then you see corresponding reductions in Mountain View. We had 552 students in October, and we're down to 198 as those students moved to the new Eastdale. In addition, there was movement in the Green Acres school. So those are the largest changes when you look at the detail. There's no particular reason with respect to the growth. We do continue to see growth over the last couple of years, in particular in the elementary panel, from both outside and within Hamilton-Wentworth. And secondary enrollment has grown slightly. It could be a combination of, with respect to the ministerial order, there were some changes to enrollment reporting during the first period, the March break to the end, beginning of April, where the ministry required all boards to retain all students on their rolls and not withdraw or transfer them to other boards, just in order to keep consistency of enrollment reporting across the province. So it's good news. We are up, and as a result, I did report in the last report that we were up approximately $350,000 in grant revenue as a result of this. With this concludes my report, and if you have any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll turn to trustees for questions, starting with Trustee Beck.
Yes, thank you very much for that. I do have one comment that I'm going to put out on the floor, and we don't have to talk about it. But I have heard murmurings from some parents that it's much easier for them to homeschool on their own without having the pesky trouble of trying to submit it to another person to grade their child. And we might be looking next year at lower enrollment. So that's just something that I've, in my wanderings and in my chats with folks, that they're very unsatisfied with online learning and with everything the way that it is. And so I just this particular item just got me thinking about that, and as we look to next year and what enrollment might look like, just to keep our eyes and ears open for potential changes in that regard. But that's it. Just kind of an oddball thing. Take it or leave it.
Thank you, Trustee Buck. I've actually heard some of the same ideas. So I'll just ask staff, not related exactly to this report, but as we work on our projections and then our actual numbers on our cyclical basis, will we be factoring in potential shifts in enrollment for the fall as we look at our projections going forward?
Thank you, and through the chair, it is something that we've been discussing, mostly for kindergarten, because kindergarten is optional. So if depending on, again, there's a lot of uncertainty with regards to September, and if September is not as we would hope that it would be, there would be the potential that there may not be as many registrations. So we're looking at that right now and determining if we need to either adjust our enrollment projections for budget purposes, or if we look to the revised budget and see what the actuals come in at, and then staffing would be adjusted accordingly, and then we would adjust everything in our revised budget, which would be in December. So thank you for bringing that up, and very astute of you, and we are definitely considering it and how it could potentially impact the 2021 budget.
Thank you. Moving along to Trustee Galindo.
No questions really. It's, I'm glad to see that enrollment is up. It's a trend that we've been seeing for a couple of years, so it's consistent, with what I think we've been expecting. Trustee Buck does raise an interesting point, but I imagine that there's, many other things that we'll be watching, in terms of the long-term implications of this pandemic and COVID-19 as a whole. And for me, that would be one of the many, statistics or numbers that I'll be looking to see in the future. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Johnstone.
Thanks. I'll just note that I've also been hearing that, but I am also aware that staff have been having these discussions, and I sincerely appreciate all of the additional work that you have been doing as we try our hardest to plan for all possibilities for September. So thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Tutt.
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee Miller.
No questions from me, but I commend staff for being able to do such great work without a crystal ball, because I think it's absolutely impossible to know at this point what September is going to look like. So thank you for doing the good work anyway, and I will be in good hands in September with you anyway. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just have one question, and I believe you've already really answered it, but I want to clarify for my understanding. So given that students were not physically in school buildings at March 31st, typically we have a count on the ground, and if students have been away for 15 days, then they are no longer counted as part of our enrollment. So I think I heard you say that we did not release anyone from our enrollment from the date when we would have had them in our school prior to March break. Is that correct?
Yes. Through the chair, the ministry provided direction to all school boards that students would be put on grant days till April 6th, and that all students, there would be no transfers in and out between boards until after April 6th. And since that time, all transfers, so if a student has transferred to another board and they're doing online learning with another board, we are withdrawing them from our school and transferring them to the other schools. But right now, the movement between boards and schools is very minimal, and we continue to follow the direction from the ministry on how to record attendance as due days and various other things until the ministerial orders are over.
Thank you very much. Okay, again, this was a monitoring item, so there is no vote required, and we will move along to item number 7, our 2020-2021 budget development.
Thank you, and through the chair, this will be a very short update. Unfortunately, we still have not received the GSN from the province. We're hoping by the end of next week that we should receive something. We did have confirmed as late as today that it should still be a no significant change budget. Obviously, as the time goes on, people start to get concerned that they're looking for savings in the GSN. We did have direction from the ministry today through the meeting that they have with directors that we should still be expecting a zero change budget or close to zero change budget. So that's good news for us. That's what we've based our projections on. And so until we receive that GSN, we really won't be in a position to bring any further updates. So, again, hopefully we don't have a finance facilities meeting next week. So by the time we meet again, we should be in a position to confirm our revenue, fingers crossed.
Thank you. That's disappointing, but not surprising, given what's happening right now. I will go through the roll call just to see if there are any questions related to your brief update, starting with Trustee Galindo.
Don't have any questions. I share Trustee Danko's disappointment, but again, it's part of the process that we're going through right now, and we're also not surprised. Hopefully, we hear something soon. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Trustee Johnstone.
I'm good, thanks.
Thank you. Trustee Tutt.
No questions, thank you.
Trustee Buck.
No questions on this one, thanks.
Thanks, and Trustee Miller.
No questions, thank you.
Thank you. And at this point, I'll just confirm we haven't received any updates from the ministry about our budget timelines. It's still due June 30th.
Through the chair, they have indicated that they will be providing an extension. They just haven't suggested the date yet. But we, as a board, will still be working towards that June 30th deadline.
Thank you. So item number 8 is resolution of the committee as a whole. I don't believe we have anything on the agenda for that session. Can I just confirm with staff?
That's correct. Yeah, we just left it there in case there was anything that came up from our discussion.
Okay, since there weren't any questions that arose that require us to go into private session, I will look for a motion to adjourn. And let's see, Trustee Buck, you get to move us for adjournment. So I'll open it up to the floor. Are there any comments or questions that are urgent at this time? Hearing none, is anyone opposed to adjourning? Okay, thank you so much for joining us tonight and for your time, both to staff and trustees, and I look forward to speaking to you at our next Finance and Facilities meeting. Have a great night.
Good night.
Thanks so much, everybody.